This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. Matt, 10 days.
Oh, baby.
10 days out from the 2024 NFL Draft. The Steelers are continuing this week to host some visitors. Mm-hmm. Today was Troy Fatanu.
Love it.
The offensive lineman out of Washington. And Mason McCormick from South Dakota State.
Love it.
Another interior offensive lineman. An interior offensive lineman. Where the Steelers are looking at here is not, they're not hiding anything.
They're not hiding anything. They're all the names we've been talking about forever. It kind of affirms maybe you and I have a clue what we're talking about. Beautiful day in the Berg, by the way.
It is beautiful day.
Yeah. Avoided some weather over the weekend. And things are turning
Today's
around.
Today's the start of my pony season as well.
Oh, nice. That's fun. Good
I'll
stuff.
I'll be umpiring two baseball games tonight.
How about that?
Doubleheader.
A bunch of yard work this weekend for me and that kind of stuff. So good stuff. Fatanu, to me, is maybe the most fun offensive line tape I've ever watched. I mean, he plays the position like a running back. I mean, he's so quick out of his stance. The long arms he uses well. He's aggressive. He's running downfield. I mean, like,
I hate to say this.
I'm sure it's somebody great.
But his effort reminds me of Dermonti Dawson.
Yeah.
With the way he gets out and finishes and he gets out and just –
He's
kills people.
Super aggressive and changes direction so abruptly. I mean, he's sometimes he has two steps in the ground in protection as the pass rusher is putting his first one in the ground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, his quickness is really, really impressive. I meant to bring this up to you like a month ago.
My question with him, though, Matt, I hate to cut
you off. Go ahead,
Do you see him playing left tackle in the NFL, or would you shift him to right tackle?
I'd shift him to right. Well, I think that's why he's here.
I think
you have that conversation
because
today.
He is like Jones has been a left tackle throughout his college career. In fact, he has more starting experience than Broderick Jones at left tackle.
Oh.
And his quickness.
Why mess with that type of thing?
Right. Is he a better prospect than Broderick Jones?
Could be. That's actually what was similar to what I was about to throw out to you is if he's 6'6", he goes ahead of Alt.
He's number one.
I mean, he might go fourth in the draft.
Right.
Like, do I want Marvin or I want him? You know what I mean? Like, that's the conversation. I really think he's that good. That's the only negative I could find. I honestly don't care. I mean, if he wants to play left and Jones wants to play left, let's flip a coin. I mean, whatever whatever it is.
Well, it might depend on what you want out of your tackles, too.
Right. Yeah. And they both are very good run blockers. They're different styles, obviously. I think Jones is more physical, stronger, bury you into the ground, where Fatanu is definitely better getting downfield, quickness off the ball, all those things.
I mean,
things.
You want to pull with your left tackle?
fine. I mean, Broderick Jones did a lot of pulling, and I think you figure that out down the road, but I think you have that conversation with him today while he's in the building.
Yeah.
Do you care? I mean, and what we don't know is it sure seems like Jones would prefer the left. He was drafted for the left.
He said he prefers left.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's a secret. But that doesn't mean he wouldn't play right.
Right. He now has a year's starting experience under his belt playing right tackle.
Right. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'd figure that out when down the road.
And McCormick has played exclusively left guard at South Dakota State.
But. Everyone seems to project him at center now.
Yeah.
And I can't find his center history. Even like in the Beast and stuff.
There's nothing there.
Even like Barton started at center, then they bumped him to the left tackle, you know, he wouldn't be a left tackle at Georgia because he's at Duke. He was a left tackle.
Yeah.
McCormick, I don't know if he was a center in high school or what, but everyone's calling him center, you know.
At some of those smaller schools, they have those guys do multiple things just in case, because you only have so many. You might have four offensive linemen are actually any good.
Especially when they're like freshmen before they're set as the left guard or right guard. Like, do a bunch of stuff, and
we'll
if someone gets hurt,
you're
going to be the first guy out there no matter what.
Right.
Because no one seems to be worried about him playing center. Athletically, and everything I've seen from him, it translates tremendously. I mean, he's a great tester. Watching his film, he doesn't look as athletic as his testing was, but he's like in the top 5% testers.
Right.
I mean, like, that's a high praise. Where Fatanu actually looks maybe more athletic than his testing. I mean, like, wow.
But Fatanu looks like he could play defensive lineman.
Oh, yeah. And he wears his pads weird. Everything about him is weird as an O-lineman. He's a very unconventional player. But McCormick, to me, is someone I've warmed up to heavily, just thinking of him as a center, third round in that neighborhood. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's a lot to work with there.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the third round thing, because we were talking off the air, and I ran a bunch of mock drafts over the weekend. That's basically what I did while I watched baseball or whatever
I was doing over the weekend.
And I've just seemed to find that if the tackles are gone, the top five tackles are not there.
Fatan, who's sitting there, you grab.
Then you take it.
Right.
But if it doesn't work out that way, I like the build better taking
Dejean
at that 20 spot.
Yeah, I certainly see where you're coming from. And I know people, they hate hearing this, but I think the worst way to build is center in round one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just how it all ends up more often than not.
If you do it that way, you find yourself lacking something.
You're missing something.
By the time you get through the pick 119, you're still missing something.
Mm-hmm.
Because the beauty of Dejean is that he kills multiple things.
Oh, he's two birds, one stone.
Yeah.
Right.
He can play outside. He can play inside. He can play safety for you.
I mean, of course, you could take another defensive back at any point if you already drafted Dejean, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, your secondary is complete in some way, shape, or form, in my opinion, and that's really attractive, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really attractive.
And the other thing now that I'm seeing is people are firming up their boards now.
Yeah.
Some of the cornerbacks, the guys that we liked that we were getting in rounds 3 and 4 early in
Florida
the draft
State
process.
Guys and stuff like that. Yeah.
They're gone by the third round.
Like, you're not getting Max Melton.
You're not
in round
getting Andre
anymore.
Phillips, sir.
You're not getting Andrew Phillips. Right. Exactly.
These guys are gone. So you'd have to take them in round two, and then you miss on a receiver.
Right. I really like the receiver in round two, too.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Pearsall's there. I'm not taking a corner.
Yeah.
You know,
Leggett's there. I'm not taking a corner.
Right. Right.
And that's the problem. So if you wait, now you're taking a cornerback in round three that you're probably going to have to take another guy.
Or sign
or do something
somebody
like that. Yeah.
Like that that's a placeholder. Hey, Patrick Peterson, do you want to come back? Or somebody like that.
But
if I
take Dejean in the first round.
You're done.
Not my slot. My slot's filled.
Mm-hmm.
He can play outside. He can play inside. I can do a lot of different stuff with him. I'll get a center. I'll get a Mason McCormick.
Yeah.
I'll get a Bo Lemmer.
Right.
You know, one of those guys that.
Maybe even the fourth.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not necessarily even day two guys. I mean, some of them that you can live with.
I can get them at 98.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And corner can be a little sticky at times.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's like third round, I'm settling for a true slot. I like them, you know, the Florida State dudes.
But
or
then
something
you're
like
looking
that.
Later in the draft, like, I should probably draft another one
mm-hmm.
in case either if this guy doesn't work out or
I often
I need
like
an
a,
outside guy
a
too.
Safety then quickly after that can play the slot in the fourth, fifth in that neighborhood too. And I always think of it through the lens of, well, I'm giving more special teamers too, but. I hear what you're saying on Dejean, but he's the only defensive back that fits that criteria to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Like Kool-Aid McKinstry doesn't do that for me.
No. And Arnold probably won't be there. Mitchell would be really hard to pass on. I don't think he'll be there, but it's not really a true need. You know?
I'm just talking about the guys who I think will be there.
Yeah.
And I think Dejean will be there.
I give him a 60% chance.
Like I would take him. I would take him over Mims or Guyton.
I would take him over Guyton. Mims is a tough one for me. I see what you're saying. I mean, we always go back and forth on Mims. I think Mims is noticeably better than Guyton. That's a tough one for me. That's the true coin flip for as it sits right now. That's like my line of demarcation. But I'm taking him ahead of the centers.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Barton. I love JPJ. It's just you don't get a great advantage of a fifth-year option with those guys. There's other centers. And what's also sticky, too, is kind of a piggyback off this. It's not always really clean if Frazier gets to 51 to take him.
Yeah, that's the other, because you're passing on a good receiver.
You're pitching, yeah, it's like if it's Pearsall or Frazier, it's like everyone's hoping, you know, your fingers are crossed if Frazier's going to make it to 51, which I give him maybe a 30% chance of. And I hope he's there. But the team build isn't always great when you take him. You know, you're not always thrilled with the results.
No, I'm with you. I just think that. Again, I probably
That's
ran.
That's why centers don't go in the top 50 very often.
I probably ran 40 mock drafts
really?
From Friday through Sunday.
Okay.
And that just seemed to be the best way to build.
It's an interesting way.
Unless
to do
you
it.
Want to start trading next year's picks, and I don't necessarily want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you can have one of the sevens or one of the six or something like that.
That's different. But you're gonna have to trade. I'm not trading a day one or two pick next year.
And now, we've brought this up 1,000 times, but if you trade from 20 to 22 to 23 to 25, whatever, a lot of these problems go away.
Yeah.
And you still may end up with the DeGene Mims conundrum.
There were several times where I did that and traded down to 25 or something like that and still got DeGene. And I'm like, now I can really build.
Everything's gravy from there. Right. Yeah. I hear you. Because then you're going to get the receiver and a center and a. Then you get the D lineman then.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you don't get the D lineman.
Right.
You know, it's like, I got to be short on something, and you end up with the fifth round D lineman or something like that, which is okay, but it's not a difference maker probably,
Yeah. It's just, this draft's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun, right?
It's a lot of fun.
And I know there's all this conversation, like Ayuk's getting traded and all that, and hey, I'd love to have him, but
I want these picks,
though. You know what I mean?
I just don't see Ayuk getting moved.
I don't think they move him. I don't think they want to move him.
No.
Like my Niners guy I always talked to is like, why would we trade him? We want to win the Super Bowl this year.
Right.
And then trade Debo after next year. I will give Ayuk a ton of money, trade Debo after this year.
That's the more sensible move.
It's way more sensible. You know, right. I mean, they're trying to win the whole thing.
It's the same thing with the Eagles now. They just signed Devontae Smith to a 3-year, $75 million deal.
I think that's not a bad deal for him.
But they've got two.
They got a lot of money in receivers.
They're paying $50 million in receivers.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can't sustain that.
Yeah. Can Miami do that with Waddle and Hill?
Right.
I mean, I immediately thought of Waddle when Smith signed. Their teammates
in college. That's what Waddle's going to want. Ayuk's going to want if he gets traded.
Yeah. I would want a little more if I'm Ayuk.
Right.
All those guys are going to say, well, we'll start at the Devontae Smith contract, go from there. I mean, an Ayuk or a Waddle or a trade like that. The contract doesn't bother me as much as the compensation.
Yeah.
I want to use these picks on this draft class.
Yeah. And the other thing is you're giving up, let's say it's a two, which is probably more. They're probably going to want more than that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're giving up that and you're paying the guy.
Right. Which it's worked out for receivers much more than other positions of late, but it's still a double whammy.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah. So, I just find this draft, the pockets in this draft.
I mean, they fit their
where
needs.
How we think things are going to fall.
We started the thing with pre-draft visits. They're not hiding much there.
No.
It's not a wide. They're not bringing in a lot of safeties and guards and tight ends. I mean, they're not wasting their time with the positions knowing those are going to take.
Yeah. So it's fascinating. It's a fun.
10 days away.
We got 10 more days left here and really 9 after we do this show.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts to heat up. Fast and furious after this week. Like the visits stop on Wednesday.
I'm sure there's a limit of when you can't visit any longer, right?
Wednesday's the last day for visits.
So like the Pinnix one that's quote scheduled probably never happens.
Doesn't look like it's gonna happen.
Right.
And it may just been rumored.
Who knows what these aren't official. The Steelers putting out exactly who the visits are either.
Well, they are.
But they haven't mentioned him.
He has not been mentioned.
Right.
Yeah. So, that's why you No offense. That's why you follow people like me on Twitter.
Right.
Because I'm going to give you exactly who these guys are. And I'm not going to speculate about who this guy is rumored to be coming. No.
Right.
These are the guys who have come in today, on this day.
Yeah. We saw Max Melton in person a couple days ago in the lunchroom. There he is.
He's here. Anyways, let's get to a break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more. Right after this.
Here we go, Steelers! Here we go! This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold. SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
And we are back. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. And Matt, Marcus Mosher on the 33rd team has put together a 7-round mock draft with trades.
I mean, you talk about an ambitious undertaking.
Now,
there.
When I say with trades, there's only a couple. He's not trading.
The fourth round trades aren't going to happen. I mean, that gets insanity.
Yeah.
You got to be, Rain Man to do those type of things. But Marcus is a good dude. Actually, if you tune in every Wednesday, him and I host a Locked On Dynasty. They do all days. I just do the one. He actually lives reasonably close, right outside of Erie. So, he does good work. He does a lot of stuff for them and Pro Football Focus. So
okay, so
big Cowboys guy.
He has, well, that makes sense since he's in Erie. That's
I don't know if he grew up there or not, to be honest with you, but big Cowboys guy.
Got Caleb Williams going to the Bears. At two, he's got Jaden Daniels to Washington. At three, he's got a trade.
Okay.
The Vikings come up. They trade. They get pick number three and pick 103. The Patriots get 11, 23, and a 2025 first-round draft pick.
That seems to be like the standard situation, you know, if those two teams make a trade.
And they come up and take Drake May.
And for New England, I think that's smart.
That would be the move to make.
Yeah, I would not want to throw. I like Drake May more than you do. I would not want to throw him into New England. I mean, that is.
He would, nah.
That's throwing him in the deep end with an anchor.
Arizona then takes Marvin Harrison.
Gladly, I would imagine.
Yeah. Then we have another trade at five.
I think the Chargers should try to get out.
The Chargers get number 10, number 111, number 185, and a 2025 second round draft pick. The Jets received the fifth overall pick.
Ooh, the Jets.
They come up to get Malik Nabers.
Wow. I mean, I guess Williams is only a one-year deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Garrett Wilson and Nabers for the next so long.
Well, who's the quarterback 2 years
from now? Right, right. But it's a nice pickup. Wow.
At six, the Giants then take Rome Odunze.
Makes sense. So McCarthy's still there.
Yes.
Okay.
The Titans take Joe Alt.
Okay.
The Falcons take Dallas Turner.
Those get chalky. I wouldn't want to. I would like to get out of eight if I were the Falcons.
Then we have another trade.
Okay, this has to be McCarthy.
The Raiders.
Yeah.
Come up. They get number 9 and a 2025 fifth-round draft pick for pick 13 and pick 44. So for their first and second-round draft picks.
It's not too bad.
This year, they move up four spots.
And take their quarterback.
And they take J.J. McCarthy.
Okay. So like that's a lot more feasible to me if I'm the Raiders or Broncos. If I can move up five spots, I get it, you know.
Okay, the Chargers then take J.C. Latham.
See, I was going to say that when I said that I'd like to get out of five if I'm the Chargers, but I hesitated because the receiver needs are so bad. I think Harbaugh and Latham are like a match made in heaven, which breaks my heart because I want Latham to be there at 20.
He probably recruited him out of high school, I would think.
I'm sure, yeah.
At 11... The Patriots, after trading town, take Fashanu.
Nice. Left tackle. Just plug him in. Right.
Then we've got another trade. The Eagles come up to 12. They give up to the Broncos, picks 22 and 50.
If I'm Denver, I'd be really strong getting backwards.
Yeah. And they come up to get Terrion Arnold.
I was going to say, is this for Mitchell maybe? But Arnold would make all the sense in the world, too. A corner for them.
The Bears then take Byron Murphy at 13.
Okay.
The Saints at 14.
Yeah, I like that for the Bears. If you're not going to get a Odunze, move back a little bit.
Pick up some extra stuff.
Yeah. They don't have a second anyway.
The Saints take Talisi Fuaga.
I think they're going to like him a lot.
Yeah. The Colts then take Brock Bowers.
Nice. Okay. Works out well for them.
At 16, the Seahawks take Troy Fatanu, who is visiting the Steelers today.
Yuck.
And this is what I fear with this whole thing. Now your top five offensive tackles of all time. They're gone.
Yeah, and they're going to be highly sought after. And there's so many landing spots for them between 1 and 19, of course. One thing on Seattle, though, because I think Seattle could definitely be in the Fatanu market. This might not be enough, but they did sign Laken Tomlinson today.
They did,
yesterday. I mean, if they draft Fatanu, they would start him at guard.
Yes.
And they signed a guard today. So, I don't know. I'm hoping they love Penix.
At 17, Jacksonville takes Quinyon Mitchell.
That makes sense, too. It's a little early. I'd take Murphy ahead of him, LSU dude.
At 18, the Bengals take Amarius Mims.
That works out well for them.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to sit him a year, maybe even play some guard, but you don't have to ask him to play now.
Yeah.
You know? Right.
Or, I mean, they don't really have a tight end either, so when they use six offensive line packages
a lot.
He'll
get a lot of that. Yeah. And they obviously like size at tackle.
Yes. At 19, the Rams take Jared Verse.
Good. Okay. You want him off the board. So he's the first, second edge.
So at 20, the Steelers take Cooper DeJean.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I mean, let's see how the rest of it works out because.
Six offensive tackles taken ahead of you.
Yeah. Then I got no qualms with it at all. Yeah. And Mims versus DeJean to me is tough.
Yeah. I think just everything that the Steelers have done this year tells me that they are all in on this season.
Mm-hmm.
DeJean is an all-in on this season player.
He's going to help a lot. I mean, I know
Whereas Mims, like, maybe not.
Right. And I know they assigned Cordarrelle Patterson, but someone's going to love DeJean for this new kickoff rule, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's no question about that.
Well, and right now you're using, you know, Austin as your punt returner.
DeJean, Austin makes the team.
DeJean could do that, too.
Yeah, he could do that, too. And not let alone
I know Gunner Mike Tomlin doesn't like to use defensive players to do that, but
he's your best guy.
Yeah.
I don't think Thomas from LSU went yet.
He is not.
He's the only one I would have considered. Like, none of the other offensive linemen would I consider over DeJean. We didn't have that conversation. Like, if Mims, DeJean, and Thomas are all sitting there, my brain would explode. Like, I'd just go, Eagles, give me anything here to 22 so I don't have to make this decision.
All righty. At 21, the Dolphins take Xavier Worthy.
Speed, speed, speed.
Do they really need Xavier Worthy? That now I would be on the phone with the Dolphins. Like,
about Waddle, yeah.
What do you want for Waddle?
Right. I put that out on Twitter, and Dolphins fans crucified me. You know, like
they would.
Yeah, I mean, they want nothing to do with it. But I'm like, they have cap problems. They haven't signed Tua. They're going to be rolling with Tyreek.
You have to look at what just happened with DeVonta Smith and say, we can't afford to keep Waddle.
Can we match that? Right. He's going to want the exact same thing now. I mean, they're the exact same class, out of the same college. I'd love to get Waddle, but I understand them not wanting to move him, but I don't know if they're going to have a choice.
At 22, the Broncos, after trading back, take Bo Nix.
Okay. That works out real well.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't love Nix, but I could see they at least have a quarterback.
At 23, after trading back or getting the extra pick, the Patriots take Brian Thomas.
Great. So they got Fashanu and Thomas. Those are building blocks. Right.
At 24, the Cowboys take Tyler Guyton.
That sure adds up, too.
Yeah.
Like, Tyler Smith, not Tyron Smith, is such a good guard, and I know he could play tackle, but I would hate to move him to tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, just you got Zach Martin and him. I mean, I would love to draft a tackle if I were them.
At 25, the Packers take Graham Barton.
Yeah. Boy, that fits them.
At 26, Tampa Bay takes Nate Wiggins.
Wow. That's a pretty good value this late.
Yeah. 27, the Cardinals take Chop Robinson.
They could go so many directions with that spot.
At 28, Buffalo takes a Donnie Mitchell.
They should be thrilled about that.
Yeah.
I thought Jacksonville took a Donnie Mitchell.
No, they took the corner.
Okay, Mitchell. Yeah, that Mitchell.
The other Mitchell.
Yeah. That's why I got screwed up.
At 29, Detroit takes Darius Robinson.
He would fit in. They'd play him all over that line.
At 30, the Ravens take Jordan Morgan. He's not really their kind of player.
He's not. He'd be a guard for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he's rugged enough for that.
He's not a glass eater.
No, I don't know if he's an AFC North guy.
No, I don't know that he is either.
Right,
yeah.
Right. He's not a bad prospect.
No.
It's just it seems like a West Coast
guy. No, I could see them taking this next guy instead. At 31, San Francisco takes Leatu Leatu.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going to win now.
Yeah.
I think he's a big-time win-now pick.
And then at 32, the Chiefs take Kingsley Suomataya.
They can wait on him.
Yeah.
That's a smart pick. I like that.
Looking here then at the Steelers pick in round two, he has at 51 the Steelers taking Xavier Leggett.
Oh,
this is what I'm talking about with the build.
Yeah.
I hadn't even looked at this one yet, but you got your
you're done at D-back.
You're done at D-back. You got your receiver.
Yeah. I mean, you'd love an offensive lineman, but I'm sure that's coming.
The next pick, however, is Blake Fisher.
Where was Frazier?
Frazier went 39 to the Panthers.
And, okay, let's say, hypothetically, you have DeJean.
Right.
And Frazier and Leggett are there. Who are you taking?
Well, Frazier's not there.
I know, but, I mean, if it came down to it, I think
I would still take
Leggett.
I would have to see what else is available at wide receiver.
Yeah, I was going to say, too. If Pearsall's there and others.
If there are other receivers there, then I'd take a look at it. But in this situation, Pearsall went at 49 to the Bengals. Mm.
Leggett's a great pick there, 51. Yeah. I got no qualms with that at all.
So if 52 goes Blake Fisher, I think, you know, just looking at who was still available here, Ruka Roro went at 55.
Consider it.
Yeah. Chris Jenkins went at 54 to the Browns.
I like both those guys.
Roger Rosengarten went to the Packers at 58.
That's where I think he belongs, yeah.
Saner still went to the Houston Texans at 59.
I'm taking Leggett over all those guys you mentioned, though.
But once you take – this is the beauty of DeJean. Once I take DeJean, I'm out of the Sanistrol
Oh, yeah, business. You're not even considering that. Right.
Were Enos Rakestraw or some of these other guys that were still available there in round two.
The Jordan Lassiter, right.
Yeah. In round three, the Steelers take at 84. Well, I don't like this. Cedric Van Pran.
He's not for me, but if that was McCormick, I'd be like, okay, it's a little early, but I'm cool with it.
Because here are the guys, 77, the Raiders took Max Milton.
Ooh. Well, you would have been in that market anyway.
We're not in that market. Right. It's at 82, the Colts took Andrew Phillips.
I'm out of that market.
Yeah.
There's a lot of scenarios you'd be like keeping your fingers crossed, though, if you hadn't taken the gene.
Right.
Either one of those guys gets to me run to the podium,
Yeah.
I'm just not big on Van Pran, but I don't mind a center there.
Yeah. Malachi Corley was still there. Bo Limmer went at 89.
I'm not saying I like Limmer more than Van Pran.
I think he's a better fit.
Probably. Probably is.
Yeah. Mason Smith went at 95, so we just missed out on him at 98. Mm-hmm. Johnny Wilson goes at 96. At 98, the Steelers take Matt Gonclaves, the offensive tackle out of Pitt.
I don't hate it. I think he's a better prospect than we just haven't brought him up much.
Yeah.
I mean, than we've given him credit
for. He was hurt at the end of last year.
Yeah. No, but he moves people in the run game. I think he'd compete for the right tackle spot probably early. Yeah.
The pick after him was Dominic Pooney. Then Tyke Smith went at 100. Moving on to round four, Mason McCormick went at 104.
Hmm.
I'd rather have Mason McCormick
than Van Pran.
Yeah,
me too.
I think I'd rather have Bo Limmer than Van Pran. I think he fits the. Yeah. I think he fits the scheme better.
I'm a Norzad fan too. I like Bortolini too.
Yeah. Who else goes here? Let's see. Bortolini goes at 115.
That's not a bad place to shop for
that
centers.
Area is not bad. Like if I pick
end of third,
if
end
I
of
take
fourth.
The center at 98, I probably have my choice of which guy do I like the best of that group.
Yeah, right. Like if in this instance, who would we have taken instead of Van Pran? And then we would have got a center with the next pick probably.
Well, I would have taken one of the centers instead of Van Pran.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
At 98.
Yeah, okay.
Because you'd still have your pick.
Right. Right.
We missed out. I think we missed out on. Did I say we missed out on Limmer? I think we. Yeah, we missed out on Limmer.
The second of two thirds. Yes.
Yeah. With the second of that, with that pick at 98, we would have had our pick of McCormick. Obviously.
Bortolini. Yeah.
Van Pran. Yeah.
Right. That'd have been fine.
At 119, it's the Steelers taking Kalen King. The cornerback out of Penn State. You don't need him.
Would I be fine with that in a vacuum? Maybe. I know they'd know a ton about him. They end up with a Pitt guy, a Penn State guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you take DeGene, though, that's
you
enough.
Don't need him.
You know, that's enough. Yeah.
So the picks right after that, Malik Washington, Jamari Thrash, Cole Bishop.
Hmm.
I'd take Cole Bishop.
I'd take just Cole Bishop, and even though we said
best
you're done
player available,
you said you're done in the defensive back.
123, Luke McCaffrey.
Okay, who was the receiver? They end up Leggett, so he'd be a lot different. Okay.
Yeah, be a lot different.
Yeah,
I'm just looking here to see Xavier,
Washington and McCaffrey. Be
Xavier
appealing.
Thomas goes, McKinley Jackson, Muhammad Kamara, Christian Jones. I'd go Christian Jones if we had gone with a different center there at 98.
Yeah.
Taken who would we look at there at 90 or at 84 instead?
So we don't have we have Conclaves.
Yeah,
but you could have him and Jones battle it out.
Right,
both make the team.
So if we'd have gone, let's say we'd have gone with the center at 84.
Okay,
because we took Van Pran there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that point, Limmer was still there.
Mm-hmm.
All the center,
McCormick
basically all the
there.
Centers
right,
were,
right.
were still there.
We just taken a different one.
Yeah, we just taken a different center there. Then at 98.
We wouldn't have taken King.
Who
did they give us at 98?
That was Gonclaves.
That's okay.
That's fine.
Yeah, we needed a tackle.
Yeah.
King is where we would have not taken the same position.
Yeah, King would not have been the pick there.
It would have been center, tackle, something different than a corner with those three picks.
Maybe it's the edge.
Mm-hmm.
The guitar player for you, too.
He's pretty good.
There's still an edge need there.
There's definitely still an edge need. I still think Golden could be in the mix for that, but if there's a good one there, I think I'm all ears.
Muhammad Kamara would.
He would fit in really well.
Yeah.
Or you take one of the slot receivers.
Or you take one of the other slot receivers, too. There were like four in a row that went right after that.
Washington or McConkey, or not McConkey, McCaffrey.
Moving into round,
all those guys in
the Steelers don't have a pick in round five. They get an early round six pick. So at 178, the Steelers take Javon Solomon, edge rusher out of Troy.
I know very little about him, but he was, I know he's a bit of a project from a small school, but an edge there makes some sense too, you know.
And then at 195, the Steelers take Kenny Golladay, safety out of Howard. Well, he's got three defensive backs on here. They're not taking three defensive backs.
No, I mean, I'm fine with a safety this late if you have DeGene. My only problem
is
the King's pick is the only one that's goofy.
Yeah, well, two picks after that, at 197, Atlanta takes Gabe Hall. I'd rather have Gabe Hall. I don't need another defensive back.
Right. Yet. Yeah, 100%. Like, I have no problem with their last pick being a safety. That makes all sense in the world, even if you have DeGene. But of all the picks that he made, the King one, positionally, we can argue about the players, you know.
Yeah.
But a center with the Van Pran pick, okay, maybe it's not Van Pran, but it's a center. King at the corner spot is the only one that doesn't jive.
It's redundant. Yeah,
that one's the only one that doesn't jive.
It's super redundant. And maybe he did that, well, he's a Pittsburgh guy, so maybe we'll just take him. They're not going to do that just to take the guy.
No, no. He's such an interesting player, though, too. I mean, if you can get the player from 2 years ago and maybe you know way more about King than everybody else and you can explain what happened to him over the last year, maybe he's worth it. But not if you have DeGene. You know,
right.
I'm just saying in general. I mean, if you can get him in that area and you haven't addressed corner much or you have a slot or something like that only,
yeah,
maybe. But I have a hard time with him.
Yeah, at some point in there I would like to address the defensive line.
Like instead of the King pick, if it was best defensive lineman available,
yeah,
that would have worked out better.
If it's Christian Boyd or someone like that.
I was thinking Boyd. I didn't know where he just landed in this.
He went at 145 to Denver.
Right. So if the draft is exactly the same, you put Boyd in instead of King, and we just swapped centers. Not so shabby.
I'm not so bad. Yeah, I'm not so happy with that.
I mean, the build's still good.
Yeah.
You know, like to your DeGene points earlier.
It just fits so much better when you do it that way.
No, I hear you. He needs to be there.
He needs to be there.
Yeah.
But
I hear what you're saying. I mean, it has a lot of ripple effect. You know, setting yourself up for the best player available in the fourth round. You know, that your first round pick can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And if, you know, you'll play a lot of that three, whatever you want to call DeGene. I don't care if you call him a corner, if you call him a safety.
He's going to be on the field.
He's just a defensive back.
Probably 80% of the snaps.
He might be out there 100% of the snaps.
He might be. I mean, he could be your second corner opposite Porter when you're just in.
Or you could live in three nickel or three safety packages. And,
right.
You know.
I mean, you'd be a nickel a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to go.
Because there were times when he played linebacker.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he could creep into the
Iowa.
Box.
Yeah.
And what's his face? At the safety they signed from Miami. He could play in the box a lot.
Deshaun Elliott.
Yeah. I mean, he's got size and, you know, you're not light. KZ probably wouldn't see the field much.
Unless there's an injury.
Yeah. I mean, he's good depth piece, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So. No, I'd love that, DeGene. I mean, he's been our crush for 6 months, but it is starting to add up to it's a nice starting formula. You know what I mean?
Yes. The build just worked because I think those centers in round three, you got two third-round picks. Yeah. One of those can be a center.
Yeah.
Who
almost undoubtedly.
Undoubtedly, and he will come in and play right away for you.
Probably, or at least compete.
Because all those guys have a ton, well, other than McCormick, they all have a ton of experience at center.
McCormick has a lot of experience, but not at
center.
Period,
yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he's a little more of a project. But those other guys should be able to be pretty NFL ready.
Yeah.
Or fight with Spencer Anderson. I mean,
we were talking about Bortolini
or, you know,
before the Senior Bowl. Like, how many centers or offensive linemen, period, from Wisconsin fail?
End up being failures, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty safe road. And he fits athletically and all that. I mean, he had a rough Senior Bowl, but a lot of those guys do in one-on-ones.
One-on-ones, yeah.
He's not going to be asked to do that.
Absolutely.
Now, I'd take that all in all.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd swap out King and
right.
have a different center. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And maybe we're too hard on Van Pran, to be honest with you. I mean, he's probably going to play in the league a long time. I just don't love him.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get to another break. He is the Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Hey, Steeler fans, you can gear up with the latest sideline apparel, hats, or jerseys of your favorite players, authentic memorabilia, custom items, and exclusives you can only find directly from the team. At one of the official Steelers Pro Shops, they're located at Acrisure Stadium, Grove City Premium Outlets, or Tanger Outlets, or you can visit online at shop.steelers.com. And, Matt, we had 25 teams, I believe, today opened up the first phase of their OTAs, including the Steelers.
Okay.
And so we have already news trickling out that this person didn't attend, that person didn't attend. First of all, these are voluntary.
They're voluntary, and not a lot happens.
Yeah.
It's barely news, but we need something to talk about. You know,
yeah. So you look at so Justin,
Justin
Jefferson didn't show up at you know, the Vikings for my first one, and Micah Parsons skipped out, and CeeDee Lamb, and some of these guys. So what?
So what? It doesn't matter at all. I mean, what did everybody show up for the Steelers? Do we know or do we care? I mean, I don't care, to be honest with you, but I was going to say, if there's someone notable not there, I wouldn't care one
bit. Reporters aren't even allowed in the building today.
Like, oh, really?
I could go down if I wanted to. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's
there's nothing to see on practice.
There's nothing going on in the practice field. It's classroom work. It's lifting.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. And if a guy misses that, so be it.
So be it. Yeah. If they have anything going on contractually, financially, or personally that they should skip it, so what?
The only thing that matters, some of these guys have incentives tied into their contracts to show up at these things. That's between them and the team.
That's between them and the team. But no team should hold it against guys that don't show up. And especially if you're a Jefferson or a Lamb on the cusp of getting a huge contract, you don't want to tweak an ankle or get hurt or whatever, too. I mean, it's a smart move.
So Justin Jefferson, so he's in fifth year. He got his fifth year option here. $19.743 million.
Yeah.
He wants more than that.
He's like a 30.
Who are we kidding here? Yeah.
I mean, what, Devontae Smith got 25, right?
Right.
I think Lamb will get, if, it depends who's next. You know, like,
right.
It won't be Ayuk next. I think that has to wait. If they were to, you know, take, you know, add more to him,
it won't be Waddle.
I doubt it won't be Waddle because I don't think they can do it right now. It won't be Higgins. I think it'll be Lamb and Jefferson. Jefferson's going to get more than Lamb, but Lamb's going to be near the top of the league.
The Vikings would be smart to make Jefferson first.
I would be too, right? Because what if Dallas has? So hadn't thought about this, but Dallas has done a really good job drafting and developing. I think they're one of the better drafting teams in the league over the last 6, 7, 8 years. But they overpay their guys heavily.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
which is why if I'm the Vikings, I want to get Jefferson done.
I don't want to have to jump off a bad contract.
Dallas sign a CeeDee Lamb to a 4-year, 130.
They give him 30.
Yeah.
Because Jefferson's worth more.
Right.
I mean, I think Lamb is worth more than Devontae Smith. I mean, we talked about this a bunch on my podcast. Like, when to me, Smith is like the definition of, is he a one or a two? I think he's right on that line. And by that, I mean, there's only like 12 ones in the world or 15s. Right. I mean, to me, he's right there. An awesome two or borderline one. Lamb's better than that. I mean, Lamb's probably the fifth best receiver in the league. And when you factor in age, one of the most valuable. Jefferson's number one or right there
right
in terms
there.
Of who you're going to pay. It's him and Jamar Chase are the ones when you factor in age.
Yeah.
So he's going to get more than Lamb for sure.
So I'm looking here at Waddle. Waddle's fifth-year option is $15.591.
Which is a nice deal for them.
It's a nice deal for them.
Yeah.
Not a good deal for him necessarily, although that's
still— Not when his buddies are making almost double that.
I mean, well, his signing bonus was $17 million, so he's made more money than that in his career.
I mean, he can pay the electric bills. I mean,
yeah.
He's okay, but yeah.
Would you give up a two right now?
I would definitely give up next year's two. Yeah, I'd give up a two right now.
And if you're the Dolphins, you want to make a deal like that because if he walks after this year, you're going to get a three. Maybe, if you don't go sign a bunch of people yourselves in the offseason.
But if we think as they think, they might not care and they might be the Saints. All I care about is trying to win this year, which I think is dumb.
They could certainly use that $15.6 million. They get to sign their quarterback.
So two is up after this year? Yes. So,
yeah, I believe so. Yeah. No, it's
because Burrow and Herbert have already got extended.
Right.
Can is this pickup to his? Did they? I think they picked up his fifth year option. Yeah. And he's going to play on it this
so
year.
So he's 19. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's 23.2 million.
But they have to get a deal done with him this year.
He's a free agent after this season. As is Waddle. They can't keep both of them.
That's the thing is it's really, and they have a lot of bad contracts. Do me a favor though. I mean, I know with just like the Saints, you can always massage things. And frankly, this time last year, I thought the Chargers would get hit harder than they did this offseason. But the Dolphins cap after this regular season is about as bad as I have ever seen, you know, for an April situation. I mean, it is horrific. It's like the Chargers was last year, like the Saints always are. They have a lot of bad deals, and they just pushed everything in. I think they have, like, the least cap space in the league a year from now.
They're saying, it looks from here on, and I'm looking at SpotTrac, estimated cap space is $8.8 million, but that doesn't...
I think where I saw it was over the cap, and then you hit on cap space... And it comes up 2024, but if you go to 2025, they looked at, like the worst in the league.
I don't know.
Yeah. Cap stuff can be hairy, but.
I mean, I do know that they've got, like, Tyreek Hill is $34 million. Bradley mm-hmm. Chubb is $29 million.
Yeah.
It's not a $29 million player. Jalen Ramsey's 26.
Yeah. They got a lot of big tickets.
Yeah. Xavien Howard's still on the
books
for $22.9 million.
Okay.
Like, holy mackerel.
Yeah, and that's without Tua's contract. And
yeah.
I mean, you know, you do know the first year of a big quarterback contract can be
soft.
Can help. Yeah. It can help the cap, but you're still going to have to pay him long term.
But if I'm Miami and I'm looking down the road, I might want to draft my receiver this year.
Mm-hmm. They've been linked to Odell a lot.
Right.
That's why I thought that might be the time to strike if they sign Odell.
Go ahead and sign Odell. It's a waste of time.
Well, I know, but that might open up and might make them more willing to move Waddle.
But I would just like, hey, look, you want to go get back in the, you know, you can go draft another one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they probably would.
And
they
could get somebody. Now you get cheaper and, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe that would change what they would do at 21.
Maybe. Certainly good. Put you in the day two receiver market.
Yeah.
I know Tyreek has come out and said something along the lines of, I'm only playing two more years or whatever that was. And I don't know if that was last year and then this upcoming one and then he's done. But he's publicly talked about retirement. Maybe they think when he goes, they can switch it all to Waddle. You don't want to lose both.
Well, here's the thing. Waddle's already 27.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not as, you know...
He's going to get paid once.
He's going to get paid once.
He's going to get paid once.
He's not going to, you know, he's not going to, he's going to be 20, hitting the free agent market next year at 28.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to get a 4-year, you know,
I think he'll get a deal a lot like Devontae Smith's.
Yeah. It'll be a 3-year deal.
Probably a 3-year deal. Yeah. It'll probably be higher than that if he actually hits the open market.
Yeah. I would just be, I'd be on the phone with him.
No, like, I think that's a good one.
What's the take here? What are we talking here?
Can you do one contract lookup while we're having this conversation too? What's Chris Godwin cost? They just gave Evans money. I could see them taking a receiver sort of early because those guys aren't young. I think you could get Godwin cheaper than some of these names in terms of draft compensation, too, because of his age.
18.5.
Doesn't break my heart. I mean, Steelers could easily stomach that.
This is the last year of his deal.
That's why I bring him up, because I think he's going to be tough to re-sign, too. He's had some injuries, but I think he's a high-quality receiver that gets slept on a little bit.
Yeah.
Slot, but more than that. Tough. He's an interesting one to me.
Yeah. So I do think if things don't happen necessarily during the draft,
mm-hmm.
You know, Devontae Adams is $16 million.
Ooh. Yeah.
No, he goes way up after this, but you're out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like $30 million next year.
They'd be smart to move him.
I mean,
they gave up a first and a third for him. Like, I'm not in that market for him because of his age. I mean, he's worth less now. I don't know that he's a lesser player.
Right.
I mean, I would give you next year's second for Devontae Adams and gladly pay him or massage his contract from here on out or whatever. He's better than Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely better than Stephon
Diggs.
He's
got the old man game.
He does. He's got a good one. I mean, even if you got Pearsall in round two, I'd still kick the tires on all these guys.
Yeah.
You know, for future picks, you know, after the draft ends. What do you want?
Yeah. You know? I mean, if you're in it, you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go win it.
Yeah. You could put Pearsall, Godwin, and Pickens out there, or you know, some combination of these guys.
Pretty scary.
It's not too bad, right? Friermuth in the back.
Yeah. Anyways, I just thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. But let's get to another break. That's going to do it for hour number one of the drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with hour number two, and you know what that means.
Oh, yeah.
Right after this.